Excuse me. Are you happy with that park?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You're way outside the line. You're taking up two spaces.
I'm like an inch over the line.
No, you're a foot over the line. You're taking up two spaces. And the next car is also going to be taking up two spaces. Then you're going to leave. And then that car is going to get blamed. This is chaos. Society can't function like this.
What?
You have to be in the lines the way it's supposed to be.
Here's an idea. Why don't you mind your own business?
Just say, you know what? I'll do better next time.
I did fine. I did fine.
No, that's not fine.
I don't
fine.
Need to do
you
better.
You didn't do fine. You need to do better. Park your car between the lines. It's not that hard. Look, just pull in between the lines.
Why don't you stay between the lines of your own business, huh? Why don't you stay confined within the lines of not being an a-hole? Because you're way over that line, all right?
The only person who's the a-hole here is the pig Parker.
A pig Parker?
Yes.
So you're calling me a pig?
A pig Parker.
Hey, you know what? Have a real nice day.
Okay, I will. I'm sure you will, too, at everyone else's expense.
TBTL!
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Look, I can't even listen to NPR anymore. You know, I try to listen and concentrate, and I can't. My mind starts wandering. I get confused.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what's supposed to happen when you listen to NPR?
Please. I hate to say this about anyone, but that man is full of bologna.
Bologna.
You're right. He's so vile, we should use the crude Americanization of the word. He's full of baloney.
They said you were bland.
And dull. And chubby.
Repregnant.
Repugnant.
That's repregnant.
Repugnant.
They said you were jowly.
That's not a word.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to a Wednesday morning edition of TBTL, the show. It just might be too beautiful to live.
Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host, coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City, where somehow it snowed, I don't know, another 6 inches last night?
Shit.
I mean, I cleaned off the Toyota 4Runner. That's not even true. I got enough of snow off of the Toyota to throw Rudy in the back and drive it over to Lake Padden here in Bellingham. And then the heat of the engine melted some of the snow that was on the hood. Although I did look like I feel like driving. I only figured this out yesterday. It's the first time I've really been out and about in a vehicle since the great snowfall of 2019. And I realized that, like, you have the people who kind of clean their car off real nice. The people who keep their car in a garage or somehow covered. And then you have the people like me who are just driving. Like, my car looked like it had the guy from Kid and Play's hair on the hood. It was like a fade, like a high fade. It just you don't look like you really have given enough effort to being part of a society. But anyway, by the time I got back, car had no snow on it. And then I got up this morning and it was totally covered in, like, again, I would say half a foot of snow.
So. Snow, and more snow.
And you've got a real nasty situation. So anyway, we'll keep monitoring things here continue to persevere and push through and bring you episode 2836 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
By the way, the Pod Pets,
I say, what's up, dog?
It's kind of funny because the snow drifts outside the house are so intense. How intense are they, Luke? It'd be like if you did a comedy show at a place where everyone had taken way too much, like, I don't know. What do people take? Lithium? These snowdrifts are so high. How high are they, Luke? They're so high that the animals are actually, they're a bit intimidated to go outside. If you open the sliding glass door by the TV room, there's like a four foot snowdrift, and so they'll be at the door like meowing and crying and acting like they want to go outside.
There is something about the soul of a cat.
And then we'll open the sliding glass door, and then they'll just stare at the snowdrift like befuddled, like what are we doing here? So anyway, that's the latest from here at Burbank Springs. Here's the latest on today's top stories. There is a strong. Contingent of people supporting the conspiracy theory on the internet that Chuck E. Cheese, as in Charles Entertainment Cheese, that's his full name, the Chuck E. Cheese Pizza Company is recycling pizza that you might be eating there.
Sometimes you gotta stop and smell the pizza.
There is photographic evidence. It's making the rounds. We'll talk about that. We've also got emails and V-mails and lots of other things with this guy, the longest running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. He's a soulful rocker from New Hampshire. And while it may be cold where he's at, it's warm inside his clothing because he is, of course,
the Miami Meat Tent.
He is Andrew Walsh, and he joins us right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
It's a one-man meat tent, by the way, just so you know. It's just a one-man meat tent.
I bear a lot of the blame for setting you up with that, but that did make things more weird when you said that.
Well, what can you do? Hey, I had a revelation today. Okay. I think that I might start putting my pants on two legs at a time. You know the expression, he puts his pants on one leg at a time like the rest of us?
Right.
Well, I happen to be
First of all, you must wear pants for this.
So because of that new rule about wearing pants, I was putting on pants before the show, and I was doing something that I don't usually do, which was I was sitting. Usually I'm standing when I'm putting on pants, but I was sitting on the edge of the tub, and my pants were there, so I'm just like,
sometimes
I'll just put
them
on.
Sometimes you wear stretchy pants in your room. It's for fun.
Totally.
I just have a lot of pants-related drops,
I understand.
I apologize.
I can pause for a second if that makes things
Could
easier.
You, though,
get them
just
all out of the way.
When was the last time you shit your pants? Been a while?
I'm good for that once or twice a year.
Hey, nice. Okay, sorry.
Anyway, well, I'm not really going anywhere great with this, but I did realize if you're sitting down and your pants are just sitting there on the floor, it's very easy to put your pants on two legs at a time. And if we ever, maybe let me put it this way. If you and I ever worry that our show has become too relatable, that we've become too much like the everyman, then I think what we need to do is start agreeing to put on our pants two legs at a time. It's very doable. And then we're not like everybody else.
Right. I feel like you slip into your pants, both legs at the same time, you slide your monocle into place, and you jump into your chauffeured Rolls Royce.
So
like a real Howard Schultz.
You get me. That's why I like it. Thanks for backing me up on that. So anyway, it's just something to keep in our back pocket.
You know what? I the other day, let's do it. Let's do some pants-related content here. Because of all of the weather, I thought you were going to say your revelation was that it's really boring when I talk about the snow, because for people in other parts of the country, they're like, either they're like the Stubot and they're like, send us a picture of their like porch that's got more snow than you and I are dealing with. They're like, yeah, this is the default setting in St. Cloud. I don't know how his garage door is. I don't want to learn. But or the people, so they're either dealing with more snow than us, or they're in the Northwest and they're dealing with the same snow and they're bored of the topic. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a no-win situation. That being said, let's
lean into
more snow content.
Yeah,
if we could. So because I've been putting on snow, I guess you would call them snow pants. I bought them. I'm going to tell you this, Andrew. I have a problem when I go to REI, and I've talked about it on the show before. REI is a very aspirational store for me. When I am there, I see things that I feel like if I own these things, I will finally be the kind of person who uses these kinds of things. And I was going to take Rudy for a walk, I don't know, a few months ago, and it was very rainy. And I thought, you know what I want to get are some high quality, like rain pants that go into a bib, you know, like that have suspenders on them.
Mm-hmm. Like you're like a, you like say, a fisher, almost like a fisherman kind of look,
yes,
only for the winter.
Precisely. And I could have gone, I'm sure, to any number of hardware stores and bought them, because it's the kind of thing that if you work outdoors in the inclement weather, it's useful. But I figured like probably gonna be bright orange. They're probably made out of some weird rubber. They're probably gonna break down after a while. And because I'm a fancy boy who puts his pants on two legs at a time, like you, like my friend Andrew, the Miami Meat Tent for one. Is that what is it? Like a murder of crows, a meat tent of one?
Yes.
Is that
yes
how the numbering works?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to REI, which it's like I don't need to go to REI to get some rain repellent pants. Again, there are places that sell them for cheaper, I'm sure, but I like being in REI. So I go to REI and I ask around. I go, hey, I wanted to get some kind of waterproof like pants that have a bib on them that kind of do an overall thing. And they looked at me like that was a crazy request. And then that was the moment. There's like an, I don't know what it is, an Ace Hardware or something. One of those smaller hardware chains that you're an appreciator of. Have you been to Tweedy and Pop, by the way?
No. Wallingford? Oh, yeah, right on 45th.
Yeah, that's because if you are a fan of the actually, they may be an Ace now. I'm not sure. But anyway, Jeff Tweedy from Wilco once took a picture in front of Tweedy and Pop.
Ah.
Which, as if, could I love the hardware store more? Now I do. Because Jeff Tweedy took a picture there. Anyway, I go in there, and there's a hardware store right next door. I could have wandered over there, and instead, I stuck around. I was like, well, what do you have? And they were like, well, we have these outdoor research pants.
Mm-hmm.
They have suspenders on them, but they're basically kind of snow pants, I guess you could say. But they're very high quality. How do I know they're high quality? Because they were like $200.
Ooh.
And I was like, I was thinking more something in the range of $20. Like, I was like, I'm gonna buy a couple, some kind of glorified trash bag that I can wear.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking at $200. And another weird thing happened, by the way, which is that I walked in on someone who was in the dressing room because it was not locked in the REI.
Oh.
And then I was like super apologetic. The person was not undressed. It was a woman, and she was clothed, but she was just standing in there. But it wasn't closed, or it was like gently open. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she gave me no response. And I was like, wow, that was an odd interaction. Then later I realized she was signing to her partner. She was hearing impaired.
Oh.
So probably didn't hear me opening the door or coming in, and B, probably part of why the interaction after was strained. So I'm holding these like $200 outdoor research snow pants things / foul weather pants. And just, you know, that thing happened where I'm like, well, I just need to have these now. Even though I didn't come in here looking to purchase such a thing, I was like, these are actually really, like, because they're expensive, they're also, like, flattering. Like, one of the things about all that foul weather gear is it's gigantic and everything. I was like, these were almost kind of tailored. They looked like they were going to last. I love REI, not just because of its aspirational nature, but because, you know, that thing where you get a – do you shop there much, Andrew?
No, I do not. It makes me feel whatever. It makes me feel bad. You feel aspirational. And like for me, I don't even aspire to that life. Like I have friends on Instagram who are like really into outdoor sports any time of the year. If they're not hiking, they're mountain biking, they're skiing, they're doing all these things. And like I wish I weren't such a lazy fatto, but I also have no desire to have that kind of lifestyle either, you know, so it just generally makes me feel bad going into REI.
It feels for me, it's aspirational. For you, it's hypercritical.
So I guess
I may have summed up our relationship with REI there in a very pithy bit of wordplay. So what I like about REI too is that because it's a co-op technically still, you get a dividend at the end of the year. And this is not an ad for these folks, by the way. They're not sponsoring the show, although as I often say, I wouldn't turn them down. So there's a psychological component of like, there have been years where I get a dividend from them for like $200. And I'm like, did I even spend $200 here at this place this year? So in the back of my mind somewhere, it's like, well, you know, these are $200 snow pants. But I will get back some percentage of them in this dividend. So anyway, I talk myself into it. I buy them. And I have worn them almost every single day since I bought them. It was like the best $200 I've ever flipping spent, including every day of this weather event we've been through. I have yesterday went to Lake Padden with the dog, as I mentioned at the top of the show. We're just tromping through, Andrew. I shit you not. A foot and a half of snow. Like up to – I must be taller than that because I'm 6 foot-ish and it was up to my mid-thigh.
Mm.
These were snow drifts, I guess. But like we went to this lake that has this awesome jogging path around it, which we don't usually go on because she can't be off-leash. Well, there was nobody else at the lake. So I was just like – I mean like it was very snowed in over there. So it was cool. So she just got to run around. These snow pants were so great. I really – they totally were like absolutely worth the cost of admission. I've been using them like crazy. For once, Andrew, It was actually the right call for me to impulsively buy something. But what I was going to say is, because I'm often pulling them on at the last minute, I've done this thing that I used to do as a kid a lot, which is where I have my shoes on still, I'm trying to put pants on. Mm-hmm. You remember that from childhood?
Yeah, I do. It's a bad feeling. Or taking them off,
It totally is.
Actually, speaking of like dressing rooms, I feel like that might have been a move I would have tried to pull in a dressing room as a kid. I don't know. I just have this weird, vague memory of trying to pull pants on and off with the shoes on.
Again, I did a lot of pants.
It would separate us from the common man, which I'm into, but this one sounds like a lot more laborious.
Yeah, there was just a lot of incidents of me. I think maybe because not tying was a problem for me as a kid. Mm. Like, I guess I tie them too tightly when I finally learned how to do it. So there was a thing with shoes where it would be like a lot of trying to pull sweats on over shoes, mm-hmm. if I remember right. And also a fair amount of wearing bathing suits under my pants as a form of underwear. That's its own thing having to do with growing up without access to brand new underwear.
Oh, I thought you were saying never nude. Oh, gotcha.
That's some – yeah. yeah, so these last few days I'll find myself like I'm basically dressed. I have on some Everlane jeans and some shoes or whatever. And then I realize like, oh, I'm going to go out with the dog. It's going to be snowy. Or there's just a lot of times where I've been pulling, not only I've been pulling them on one leg at a time, but I am pulling them on over shoes, Andrew. And
okay.
A trip down childhood lane.
Yeah.
Memory lane.
So you bought these things pretty early on during the weather event, as we're calling
I
it.
Was wearing them, Andrew, when Rich and I, Rich, who is totally real, were walking Rudy through the local park and then got into it with a jogger because Rudy was bugging the jogger. I was wearing them on that day,
and
it was a viciously rainy day. And that's the thing. I will give the folks at Outdoor Research their due. These pants work great for wet times. They work great in the snow. I feel kind of rugged. When I come in the back door, we have a little area kind of where it's like a slate tile. It's kind of like where you stand when you come into the house and you have mud or snow on you. I stand there. I have the suspenders on over my like Everlane sweater. I look at Carrie. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this is about as masculine as I'm going to get.
You know, so these, you said wet times. I have a pair of pants that are called wet times pants, too, that I sometimes have to wear. Are they the same thing?
They don't sell those at my REI.
Okay. See, yeah. No, okay. Yours aren't wet times brand. See, I have a brand of wet times.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
With a Z.
Can I just say this, going back to the
Please.
Weather quickly? We are now separating from this. I don't know how weather patterns work. You were actually describing the weather patterns the other day, whether the storm was coming from the north and then blowing down here or what have you. But we seem to now be putting some distance between our weather systems, which I am so grateful for, which is weird. I've never – or let's just put it this way. This is the first time in my life that I've been in Seattle and have been excited to see the snow go away. Usually snow is so rare around here, and there's part of me that misses snow. Not a big part of me, but there's a part of me that misses snow from my upbringing. And so it's a special thing, and it's always a little bit sad to see it go away. But now I am looking out on my, like, I guess my neighbor's roof, and like, it is significant. It is amazing how it warmed up here, and now the snow is disappearing. And supposedly, you know, this is the most important thing. Supposedly, they're coming to pick up my garbage today. I mean, God knows if that's going to happen. I'm already fighting with people over that in my head because I'm a healthy person. But it does seem like things are going to get back to normal. And so far, what I've heard is it's just we're looking at rain from now on. No more snow, supposedly.
I hope so, because I'm flying to Chicago tonight. And seems to be on track. But then there's a couple of more weather systems moving through the Northwest. But, yeah, I'm hearing that they're going to be – I am usually highly suspicious of the predictions. I always assume it's not going to be a thing, but because this one was a thing, I'm like one more incident away from being one of those people that's watching the weather channel when there's no interesting weather going on.
Yeah.
Like you walk by those houses. In my neighborhood, it alternates Fox News and the weather channel for some reason, like when Rudy and I are out at night. And so – I'm because I've got to go to Chicago, then I'm coming back. We're doing Livewire on Saturday night down at the Triple Door in Seattle, and I'm trying to come all the way back to Bellingham in between. Anyway, I've got a whole bunch of little complicated travel stuff going on. So I'm hoping that you're right. I'm hoping it's just rain from here on out. Now I'm worried about all of this water. You don't ever see the water represented as snow. In other words, when I was walking, Rudy, through thigh-deep snow, I thought, this is all water, right? Like, this, when this melts, it turns into liquid. And, like, that's a lot. I mean, I know when it rains, that's happening, too. But you just don't get to see it in the same way, the same visual representation.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fluffier. So you, it's kind of – it's a little bit of a mind F, I guess. You can't totally compare the two. I wanted to say, you're talking about not trusting the weather people. And I don't really get into weather forecasts all that much. Like, I just – you and I have talked about this before. You're somebody – because you're one of those people who likes to – I guess I'll put it this way, leave the house from time to time. And I'm the type of guy who doesn't like to do that. And so I'm less interested in the weather forecast because it's always 70 degrees with a 20% chance of rain in my living room. And
excellent David Cross reference.
Yes. That's Guffman, right?
Yes. He's just like kind of meteorologist. I think he's an amateur meteorologist / amateur kind of UFO encounter person.
Yes. And anyway, what I was going to say was I guess I tended to not necessarily trust the forecasts about this big storm that was coming. And then it ended up starting exactly when it was supposed to. And it did exactly what they said. And I was texting my dad. My dad in Ohio has been very kind of curious about what the weather's been doing over here. And I've been keeping him abreast. And I mentioned, I'm like, yep, it started snowing exactly when they said it would. And he said, see, I defend most of our weather forecasters. Most everybody else rags on them. So Robert Walsh is on the record as being a defender of weather
forecasters. Bob Walsh has a Jim Cantore sign in the front yard at Burgundy Bay East.
Was that a hold on one second here. What is this? I think I got this.
I'll tell you another thing. Once you step inside this circle, the weather never changes. It is always 67 degrees with a 40% chance of rain. Always.
You were saying Cantore. He's a weather guy, right?
Yeah, he's kind of – I think he's sort of the big star of the Weather Channel in as much as there is a big star of the Weather Channel. That's one of those things that just never – I've never understood that. In fact, one of the things I liked about living in L.A., I liked the sunshine, and I liked that it was – you just went outside. I mean, there was like 4 days a year when it rained, and everybody freaked out, and that was kind of it. I like that. I like not having to – for me, the caring – like right now, I'm looking at the weather app on my phone. I'm trying to figure out in Chicago, do I need – it's 19 degrees currently, by the way. Like, what gear do I need to have for being in Chicago? That's the main impact it has on my life, is if I'm traveling somewhere. But I like not caring about the weather. Like, I enjoyed that element of living in Los Angeles. Okay. How about this? How about we take a break? And then when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the – you knew that Chuck E. Cheese's real name is Charles Entertainment Cheese, right? Is that a well-known fact?
That is something that when you said it at the beginning of the show, I remembered hearing it before, and I'm like 99.9% sure I know that from you saying it before. It is not something that I recall.
You notice I almost called it a factoid. God, I caught myself.
And now we know that that is what? A factoid is the opposite of a fact. It's not a little fact.
Yes. I really blew everyone's mind the other day in the LiveWire editorial meeting.
I'm sure.
Luke Burbank, with a few kind of dazzling details, is a dangerous thing, my friend. And you armed me with those dazzling details with that Reader's Digest segment we did. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more TBTL. Don't go anywhere. downloading this onto my telephone. So I can listen to it on the airplane later today.
Oh.
Until you play R.E.M., I forget how much I love R.E.M.
Yesterday, I downloaded all of season one of Patriot to my
nice.
To my new fancy little tablet. I am looking forward to... Man, it's almost like I only can get into TV shows now if I'm a captive audience on an airplane. There are just too many distractions when I'm on the ground.
A TV show that we've been getting into, which is not big news to anyone, but we started watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt again.
Oh, yeah.
And there's actually a decent REM joke in there. Michael Stipe and Rem Koolhaas designed museum, the REM Rem Koolhaas.
I don't remember that. They fire so many jokes at you.
God, I know. So the good. JPMs. Yeah. Carrie and I were watching it, and I was just – there was – so many – like there's so many jokes that don't work on that show.
Mm-hmm.
But even if 30% of the jokes work, you're – there. That's a lot of jokes that are working every episode. There's one where this is when she has to go back to Dernsville to confront John Hamm's character. And Titus, her friend, is wants to become famous on the local television. And he says something like – I think he says – This is near Indianapolis. He's like the 25th largest media market in America. 19th if you count deer staring through the window. We laugh for like 10. Maybe we have a lot of deer up here in Bellingham. We laugh for like 10 solid minutes at that.
Yeah,
it's just like the JPMs are off the chain with that show.
When I first started watching it, I thought it had its funny moments, but I actually – I don't know, maybe because of its, you know, 30 Rock DNA, I went into it with just really high expectations. I don't know what it was. I thought the first season or the first few episodes I watched, I was like, yeah, it's funny. I don't know. I think it's getting – maybe it was near the end of the first season I started to think, like, it's getting too wacky. Like, remember 30 Rock started very realistic. I know I've said this on the show before. If you watch the first season of 30 Rock, tonally it's very different. And I remember I always liked 30 Rock, but liking it less the goofier and less realistic it was. And now, of course, I've just enjoyed the whole canon for so long that I like it all. I think Kimmy Schmidt was starting to veer towards like the completely absurd, and I didn't like it at first. And now they've just leaned so far into it that the show is a it's maybe it always was, and I just went in with the wrong attitude. But now that it's like just completely absurd, I really... I just like it more, or I enjoy it more, because I think like I'm watching it on the right level. Did that make sense? God,
yeah, you
words
have to,
not
think,
to say much.
Well, buddy, 5 days a week.
Yeah,
up to 3 hours a day. So let's not don't fight that impulse.
Let me
I just
try to make it
30 minutes on snow pants.
Yeah,
please. Okay, let's. I have to say that. I've found myself doing the same thing in watching the show, that show, of just being kind of like, okay, this is over the top in a way that's almost – it's like musical theater nerd stuff. And I'm not a musical fan, but like we just watched the episode. I'm typically speaking, I'm not – like I'm not into shows like Glee. I'm not particularly into musical theater. And I know a lot of our listeners are.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that and I love that about them. But – I have to say, the episode where Titus is doing his one-person show, his past life as a geisha.
Oh, like, right. Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Actually, you know what? First of all, that show was just kind of got to me because the singing was legitimately beautiful as the geisha. I was like, no, this is actually like – this is just beautiful music. It made me want to find out more about actual traditional Japanese music. But then there was another one where – I think it was the episode where he's – kind of – he's living in his own musical essentially. He keeps singing these off-brand songs that are like from musicals that never made it. I think there's one called like Gangly Jeff that was like an off-brand Annie or something. And they do this thing where it's like he and Carol Kane are singing and it's kind of the shot, I guess, on the screen is of different people in the show doing – having experiences. And it really worked for me. It really got to me. I had this brief, just a little crack of like light where I was like, oh, this is part of why people get really into musical theater stuff. Now there's one, can I say one thing that I'm sure I'll regret later? Cause there's probably a legit, like a story behind it. And I'm just seeming like a, I don't know what just a person who has not done their research. I have not studied it out. The character of Dong, who's her kind of love interest.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's in the early seasons.
Is played by a Korean-American. Why not have a his character is supposed to be Vietnamese-American or Vietnamese, trying to become Vietnamese-American, I guess is how you might describe it accurately. And I saw him and I was like, oh, this person portraying Dong is clearly not Vietnamese-American in terms of what I understand the general appearance of Vietnamese-Americans to be. And I know a lot of them because I grew up in Seattle. I was like, oh, this guy's definitely probably a Korean-American. Why do that? Why not just get a Vietnamese-American actor to play that role or make his character somebody who – and I looked him up. He's of Korean extraction. Is that weird? Am I overthinking that? Am I not the guy to be weighing in on this?
Well, listen. I mean, I think you know what I'm going to say about this probably. And everybody
does. I
actually
don't for once.
Really?
A weird feeling for me. I'm on tenterhooks. I seriously don't know what you're going to say.
I mean – I know I'm Mr. Snowflake, but that whole thing I found to be off-putting because I don't think it's funny.
The pushback on it, or what do you
no,
say?
No, I
the
just
whole
all,
thing?
All the jokes because I kind of forgot about that. He goes away in later seasons. What are they on now?
Oh,
by the
okay.
way, four or something. And I remember at the time just because isn't there some joke that it's almost like. An Young from Arrested Development, which I don't really think aged that well either. But the joke is always about his name and a miscommunication about his name. And it's like, I mean, I'm not saying that you're a racist show, but really, it's first of all, the jokes aren't funny. And secondly, you're just really leaning into it. And thirdly, like, I don't know, can't we do better? It just didn't seem good. And then to know that the person who is portraying, like, the Asian person isn't even of the descent that they're portraying makes it more problematic to me. I didn't know that until you said it.
I just was surprised, you know. I feel like if you did that with other – I mean, of course, historically it has happened many times, unfortunately, where you cast somebody and you have them play. I mean, there's also some kind of – it feels really on the line around the now we're just going to like tear the show down for a minute. The kind of backstory of whatever Jane Krakowski's character's name is and her having been raised Native American.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like I can kind of see how they justified it because like the joke's on her. The joke is not on her family who are Native American. But it's just still kind of – I don't know. It dances around a few things that I'm like, I don't know about that. That being said – I'll end this on a positive note, at least my portion of this. Ellie Kempner?
Yeah, I think it's
whoever,
Kemper.
The actor that portrays Kimmy Schmidt, she is a revelation. And I'm not saying anything that our listeners don't already know, probably. I know she was on The Office and all that. But, like, she's amazing in that show. Like, her energy level.
Yeah.
To just be that enthused. Because every take you see her do on that show was probably the 80th take she had done of that thing. And the show is just all her entering rooms, saying things with a tremendous excitement, doing things with her face in response. Like, and also Titus as well. But, like, really, she's amazing. Amazing in that show, and I'm like 3 years behind saying this.
So are you in season one right now or maybe early season?
No, I think we're in season two.
I think you're going to find that it gets better. Again, I don't think it's completely just that I'm watching it with different eyes. I think the show really finds its rhythm and finds what it does well. I think the later seasons are really good. Sorry, the reason I'm pausing is there's so many things I want you to see that I don't think you've seen yet. Have you seen the one with Judah Friedlander yet? I think that's his name. The guy from 30
that
Rock.
That episode?
Yeah. This is the only episode I can think of in all of television that is both – it's got two storylines, and one is my least favorite of the entire series because it's about the daughter and this experience she's having in college. And it's actually a takedown of snowflake culture that I think is – kind of clunky, and I think that no offense, but I think the actress who plays the daughter is really bad, like distractingly bad. I think it's poorly written. The part is poorly written. I think that she does not do the part any favors, and it's terrible. But the other storyline in this is Judah Friedlander plays a I don't want to give it away. He is somebody who hires Titus to be a session musician for him, and it is that episode kills me. Like, I'll be on the floor dying. So anyway, look forward to that. I think that's in season
good
two.
Good to Yeah, I think that there must be some – the writers of that show must have a little bit – they must have wanted to, like you said, a little bit take down snowflake culture. Mm-hmm. Because the episode where Titus is doing his one-person show where he's channeling a past life, he's initially criticized by like an Asian-American group that feels like it's inappropriate that he's portraying a Japanese woman. And then they come out to the show, and then they end up loving the show. And then there's this moment where one of the protesters is like, I'm not mad about anything. I don't even know what to be. And then she disappears as if her only existence, her only raison d'etre is to be mad about things.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, it's a little – yeah, somebody who dips into internet culture a lot, it is a little bit soothing. It does feel nice to sometimes see the outrage machine get its comeuppance. But it's not an unintentional statement by the writers of the show to say that maybe they think that people are a little bit too outraged at times.
Yeah, which is – you know, and that's fine. I mean, actually, and I don't know to what degree, especially as the series goes on, Tina Fey has like kind of creative input on it. But, you know, Tina Fey, even on 30 Rock, I feel like there are occasional nods to that as well. Like, again, like the episode that where Kimmy goes to college and it's a real – I mean the whole thing is just like guns a-blazing on snowflake culture and I guess to a degree the snowflake culture that goes along with that generation, the college age generation.
Like safe spaces and stuff.
It is just so clunky though. I mean that's the thing. It's not – mm-hmm. It's just terrible writing. It's just like it's so right. From the gut they want to take it down. And again, some of the acting is really poor too. So I think most of that – I'm not offended or even the I'm forgetting what – I completely forgot about that in the first season. Who is the deliver? What's the delivery guy's name again, and what is the joke around – it's a constant miscommunication about his last name, right? The Asian guy that
the
you –
The delivery guy?
Yeah.
Oh, Dong.
Right, right. Oh, that's right. And you know what? I think this is why that gets me, and it's not just like this general overarching kind of like – we should think about other people's feelings, like, and I hope this is okay for me to say, but I have some really close friends. My really close friend is Beverly Wang. We've talked about her on the show. She's actually – I've played tape of her on the show. She's now the woman who's a broadcaster in Australia who's got that podcast called – I believe it's called It's Not a Race, and she's made quite a name for herself by talking about race in Australia, which is oddly something that a lot of people hadn't done before. And, you know, I just know from her, like, having a friend whose last name is Wang, like, it's not funny, you know, like making fun of her name and like
right.
Kids. And again, I know that I sound like that snowflake, but even before we had the word snowflake to describe people like me, I guess on a very practical level, I just remember talking to Beverly and, oh, you know, and I think that like sometimes I call people by their last name and I think I called her Wang a lot. And at one point she's like, are you making fun of me or something? I'm probably mangling that. And I was like, no, I'm not. And it's just like she lives with that now because you grow up in our culture with a last name like Dong or Wang. Like, it's just literally not even funny. And all you're doing is giving somebody a complex.
Right. It sounds like what you're saying is there's the part about some of that stuff that's like kind of a little bit on the like offensive side. And also just like it's just bad comedy. Like, I don't know if this is how it should be, but it's like I'll let a lot of shit go in the service of high comedy or what I perceive to be high comedy. But when it's like kind of on the line and it's just not even a very good joke, that's when this guy gets off the train. Now, if it's good comedy, yeah. Offend whoever you want. No one has any right to ever be offended. No, I'm kidding. But you know what I mean?
I completely agree because I'm trying to figure out if I should even just tell the joke. Probably not, because then it'll be – you can isolate my voice as if anybody would do this, but you could potentially isolate my voice saying something and then playing it out of context. But there is a joke on The Other Two. You know that show that you and I were talking about? I believe off air. We played a little clip of it as intro tape on air the other day.
They're
in
the periphery of
a
reality star, right? They're trying to become reality stars themselves or influencers or whatever.
Yes. And there's just one scene. There's one woman who's very acerbic on the show. The writing on that show is sharp AF, as you say, and there is one thing that she says that is so not PC, and it's kind of it acknowledges PC culture and what she says in PC culture. I won't go into the whole thing. It's in episode 2. Everybody should just watch that show anyway. It's hilarious. And what she says is like, whoa, I would not say that, but the joke is really good. And it, I think it holds up because you trust the writers. You know that they're, that this character saying this thing does not represent the values of the show necessarily. Like, you can say funny things that can be sharp and poignant and all of those things that are maybe on the edge that make you feel a little bit bad for laughing, but oh God, I just think the dong jokes are just not funny and not worth it. Like, not worth it. Why do you open that door? What are you thinking?
That's where I don't understand writing room culture. Like, we've had lots of people on the show who are comedy writers, and they know what it's like to be in a writing room. And I just find it so odd that for a room full of really funny people who are all writing funny stuff all day long, that a joke like the Asian character's name being Dong, that makes it through all of the, you know, all of the kind of creative dynamism of that room. Like, that one just kept winning the showdown, the face off, to where it becomes the character's name and a recurring joke. It's just like, how did that survive? And there just had to be a better, funnier joke.
Countdown to somebody sending us an email where it turns out that joke was written by an Asian American in the room. Yeah, I mean, that I would guess that if it was all white people in that room, they wouldn't. But I still stand by the fact that it's not funny. And even if you do have, you know, let's just go with my presumption here that, somebody of Asian descent wrote that joke. Is it still does that make it better for the kids who have a name that Dong or Wang or whatever when they're watching on TV and then other kids see it? You know what I mean? Like, does it really does that make it better? I'm sure there are probably people listening right now who are of Asian Americans or of Asian descent who are like, yeah, that joke's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, you guys need to relax. Sure. And that's fine. Like, again, not everything offends everybody and more power to you. But, you know, I guess I've said what I'm going to say. It's just like, God, just choose your jokes, I think, if you're even going to walk that line.
Well, I think the distinction too, or the important thing to remember is, now I'm just going to – I'll shadow box with this theoretical listener right along
with
you.
I know. What am I doing?
No, but what I was going to say is this is – I've been thinking about Lindy West a lot lately because she's a friend of the show. Her she's got a TV – there's a TV version of Shrill coming out where A.D. Bryant kind of portrays Lindy. I saw a trailer for it. It looks great.
I know.
And one of the things I think that – like, when Lindy was involved in that whole – I don't know, brouhaha over like rape jokes. There was this Lindy's, if I may kind of paraphrase, Lindy's argument was never that it should be illegal to tell those kinds of jokes. Her argument was like, it's tired and not funny. And the response to her was as if she was going from comedy club to comedy club with like an armed, police force arresting comics and taking them off stage for making the joke. And it's like there's this very weird thing that happens where if somebody criticizes something and just says, I didn't like that, it can sound – and I've been the person who reacts this way, for the record. It can sound like to the person who's receiving that information, like you're saying it should be illegal to say what I just said or wrote what I just wrote. And that's really not the case. And like with Kimmy Schmidt thing, of course they should – I think they should be allowed to write that joke about that character's name. You and I can say, it's kind of a low-hanging fruit and kind of a dumb joke. And they can keep writing it and we can keep saying, it's kind of a dumb – we can keep watching the show and liking the show and going, that part of the show is kind of silly or could be better or whatever. And that's – I feel like – I don't know. We can tend to see things as so binary in this like, well, if someone criticizes something, then the next thing they're going to say is, well, that it should – you should literally not be able to put that on the internet. Or on TV or whatever. And it's like, I don't think most of the time that's what people are saying. They're just expressing their opinion. And that's good for me to remember, because when people are critical of me, it feels like they're telling me I'm not allowed to do things. And mostly they're just saying, I didn't like it when you did that.
Mm-hmm. And I say that to you a lot. I'm going to reiterate what you say, because now this ball is just rolling and we're right in my sweet spot. And it's something I've been thinking a lot about. Not that it's in my sweet spot isn't – I actually think I have any credibility in the matter, but just stuff I think about a lot. I'm a strong believer in both the free speech and basically market forces when it comes to this stuff. Like I am literally a paid member of the
ACLU.
You're a
classic free market yes. enthusiast. I know that about you.
Of course, they did cancel my one credit card and they sent me a new one. The bank did. So there is a chance that my payments to the ACLU are in arrears. I'm not sure. But, you know, I've been thinking about this because, you know, there's been several things that have been in fashion shows lately have either been pulled or received negative feedback because it seems like they almost evoke blackface. Have you seen any of this?
Yeah. Katy Perry had some shoes.
That's the latest one. Yeah. I'm sorry, I looked at the shoes too.
Have you seen the shoes?
Yeah, I did. So she had some shoes that kind of – they're like these black shoes, but then there's a face on them with big red lips. So it's, people said this is kind of evocative of blackface. And I think it's – the more attention was on that because it's coming on the heels, if you will. Because they're heels.
Yeah, and I won't.
I'm sorry. Of some other things like these turtlenecks that the models were wearing that you pull up over the bottom half of your face, and then those were black with the big red lips, and so that's now – that was even more evocative of black face. And I'll be honest with you. I'm reading this article. I'm looking at this stuff, and again, I'm a white guy. Maybe shouldn't weigh in. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I mean, right. You have to look at these things in context. There's a history of this stuff. Like, imagery is something. Was that intended? Was it unintended? Does it matter? But at the end of the day, all I take away from that is, yeah, the market didn't hold on this. Like, you know, right. Like for whatever sure. reason right now. And, I, you know, people will say to me, because I come at things often from this angle of like, well, let's be careful what we say. And I am, as you know, frustratingly careful with what I say. You know, I've never said you can't say something. And people say, oh, you can't say anything anymore. Literally, somebody told me that, you know, when I was visiting Cleveland. Oh, you can't say anything anymore, you snowflake. I'm like, no, you say whatever you want. Don't tell me that I can't say this. I'm saying this. Don't tell me not to say this. Yeah. You say your thing. And, you know, I've gotten into people. I think I even told you this story one time. It was at Teddy's, my local watering hole. This is a while back. And I meet some guy. He's totally nice.
Snow shelter.
Yes, emergency shelter. And somehow the conversation just kind of got to, you can't say anything anymore. I'm like, well, what do you want to say? Go ahead, say it. Like, what words are you not allowed to say? Say them. You have every right, man. Nobody is outlawing this stuff. Say it right now. And then if other people say, I don't like that, they have a right to say that. Everybody can voice their opinions. Say it, you know? And then I was like, well, I just think it could go too far. I'm like, well, give me an example. What are some words that we can't say now that you think are fine, that the world is a worse place because we can't say?
Yeah, and you could say them if you really wanted to – if the hill you wanted to die on was saying a word that we've now decided is transphobic or racist in some way or whatever. If that's the hill you want to die on, it's not illegal for you to say those words. You're just going to get – you may get some pushback, and also people may not want to be interacting with you, but – you are not going to jail over that. Like, it is very hard to go to jail over saying something offensive in this country. Mm-hmm. So this idea, too, that, you know – and again, I'm sounding very, like, high-minded now and, like, I'm totally chill with everything. Wait till somebody criticizes me over something I said when I feel like it's not right, and I'll probably be right in line behind that person at that bar in Cleveland saying, you can't say anything mm-hmm. anymore. But if I'm thinking about it with my – in the cool light of day – I mean, the idea that you can't say anything is also just weird because no one's stopping you. You just may suffer the repercussions of that, which might be criticism. And then if that – I mean, do I think that there is a kind of a bit of a – does the snake eat its tail, or does – you know, does the left in particular kind of eat its own online in the – because of outrage? Yes, it mm-hmm. happens. And that can – I think that there's some downside to that. But – as far as, like, the average person, like, could you – like, can you get through the day not saying the N-word? Yeah, I know rappers say it. You know? Like, the idea – I'm just going to, like, create this person you were talking to out of my imagination. It's like, you know what? 64-year-old white guy at the bar? I know rappers say the N-word. Do you think you can get through your day not saying it?
Yeah. They can say it. Why can't we? And it's like, you can say it. Like, I would really, actually say it, man.
And also,
why do you want to say it so bad?
You can say it. I mean, even right here in this bar, I don't think – I might be misremembering. I don't think it's even illegal. It just would be in poor taste, and people might be like, hey, what's up with that? But it's always funny when people – and I have – look, again, I always have to say when this type of stuff comes up, I'm a person who really went to bat for being able to use the word gay to describe things that were not good on the radio show that this podcast grew out of. Why that was a thing for me, I do not know. People that want to like argue so – like they want to find some kind of a loophole for why it's okay for them to say some word that's hurtful to other people, in particular like the biggies, like the N-word or the, you know, referring to gay people by what are like long held understood to be pejorative, you know, phrases or words. People that want to like find the logical argument as to why they're allowed to do it. It's like, really, could you get through your day without it? Why are you arguing this so hard?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you before. I thought you were just saying that. I will say that, like, you bring that up a lot. I think I remember – I mean, you referred to it a bunch. I think I even was listening to the show when you were making that argument. Like, well, let's kind of – you were kind of like, listen, none of us in this room are homophobic. Let's just reclaim the word gay and, like, take away – you know, it's like kind of a – Lenny Bruce-esque argument, which, you know, you can argue the merits of. I would just say that, you know, as Lenny Bruce, white straight guy, arguing for saying the N-word to take the power out of it, maybe that's – maybe he's not the perfect delivery person for that message or whatever. But you evolved from there and you said, yeah, now looking back, I realize that that's tone deaf. Part of it is because times change and we evolve with the times. And, you know, like – I have evolved so much, or maybe devolved. I'm not even trying to make it sound like I'm right on all these things. Maybe I will change my mind on some of these things. Maybe I, who knows, 10 years from now, I might think, God, like, I really was way too much of a snowflake. Like, PC culture's gone too far. I doubt I will go that direction, but I might. But I also don't think that it's necessarily wrong or embarrassing to admit that we change over time. And for me personally, I'm just trying to. This sounds really self-aggrandizing, but I am just hoping that any kind of evolution or change that I go through is going towards being a better person or making the small world around me at least a not worse place.
Right. Also, I mean, that's, I guess that's all you can do. And then you also, I mean, the times where we look back in history and we say, like, oh, treating people better, you know, listening more, trying to understand how people are more nuanced than we realize, it's so rare that we look back on that and go, boy, that was a mistake.
Exactly.
Like, it's just it's the most bizarre thing, and this is will be annoying to the, like, two or three, I guess you could say. If we have any, like, hardcore socially conservative listeners left, I'm sure we've driven most of them out. Just with pants talk. I mean, not even talking about political stuff. But, like, it's weird to me that there is such a debate around if being progressive is the right way to be when you look at history and there it's – like, to be conservative at a certain time in this country was to think that black people were property. And then it was also to be at some point a person who thought that black people should not have access to the same facilities as white people. Like, it's just – that women should not have been allowed to vote, that women should not have control of reproductive – I don't need to list all the things that people understand this shit. It's like it's so rare that you look back and you go, God, the progressives had it wrong.
Well, you know? I don't know, like, though. Does Make America Great fly in the face of that? God, is this – by the way, we're still talking about Kimmy Schmidt, right? You recommend it? Bottom line, you recommend Kimmy Schmidt? Good show?
Absolutely. The JPMs, man. Got it. It's all about the JPMs. Well, we still have a few listeners left.
Oh, my God. What are we doing?
Every name on this last list, every last name on this list is something phallic. God damn. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this?
Mike Bonerton of Kalamazoo.
Paul Ortiz of Granite Bay, California. Thank you for supporting TBTL. Really appreciate it. Brian Priest of Seattle, Washington, another donor that we are thanking today. Brant Stewart, Spring Valley, California. Also Abigail Higgins of Sacramento, California. Rebecca Singer of Brooklyn, New York. And then Joanne Templeton of Buckley, Washington. Andrew, I'm starting to do that thing where...
Joanne the farm. That's where we had our picnic. Maris Farms, yeah. I believe.
Fun. I'm starting to do that thing where, like, so I have a little show sheet that I printed out. It's got these donors of the day, Paul, Brian, Brant, Abigail, Rebecca, and Joanne. But I guess it's kind of a little far away from me, and so to read those names, I'm closing one eye.
Oh.
That's not good, right?
It's not great.
Is my vision slipping?
But didn't you have a vision test recently? Have you not?
No.
Oh.
No, we talked the other day about how I wore fake glasses for a period of time in my 20s. I've always had a lot riding on the fact that I have good eyesight.
Uh-huh. You
and I still think I do, like, at far distances. Like, I think I can still see things pretty okay. But, like, when I wanted to make sure that I was saying Abigail Higgins' name right, I closed my right eye to just – and I did it kind of instinctively. And that's – well, you know, as Blink-182 said, I guess this is growing up.
I'm glad you used a blink when you're talking about your eyes.
Oh, my God.
Works out
sometimes
well for everybody.
The comedy
everybody.
Just writes itself yeah, on the
absolutely.
Show. Okay, well, thank you so much, Joanne, Rebecca, Abigail, Brant, Brian, and Paul. Thanks for making TBTL possible.
But everything's gonna be all right. Thank you, baby.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right, Andrew, I'm at a fork in the road here because we're at the point in the show where we should be going to emails and V-mails. We have not talked about pizza recycling, but I think it's a good topic. We also didn't get into emojis. I'm wondering. So here's the plan for the listeners. Tomorrow is going to be our Valentine's special, which I am super excited for the listeners to hear. You put a ton of work into this, Andrew, and it's really good. I think it might be like our best radio special we've done. Featuring many of the TBTL listeners.
That's right.
So that's tomorrow. And then Friday's show, well, that's TBD. And I'm wondering if we should determine. That's what the D in TBD is, right?
To be determined, yes.
I think we should determine to talk about Chuck E. Cheese pizza, which for a while was a nightly topic on this show.
Mostly
just about fights at Chuck E. Cheese.
I have strong feelings about this fork in the road. I don't know if we're keeping this a secret or not, but we have somebody joining us on the show Friday who is perfect to talk about a food-related topic like Chuck E. Cheese. And I have some good some good emails and messages here that I wouldn't mind sharing with you.
Okay, perfect. So we'll do that on Friday's show. And one other thing I want to mention, because tomorrow's show is going to be our Valentine's special, Love is on the Air. We will not be doing Blur's Days. But wait, Virginia, there is a Blur's Day clause. It'll be on Friday. So so I guess if you have a Blur's Day this week that you have sent in or in the past few weeks for this week, we will honor it, but it will be on Friday's show.
Quick aside, I think Tim Allen is good in the birthday clause or in the Blur's Day clause. God, if I could have just told that joke without stumbling.
I've said on the show even recently that you're basically allowed to say anything you want. But that, my friend, you are not allowed to say.
Here I go once again with the email.
I will get you
every
kicked
week,
off this show fast.
From a female. Oh man, it's not from a female.
All right. Emails, my friend.
Right now, the Blur's Day clause is the only possible show title, I think, that we've come up with. So keep that in mind during this next 5 minutes. Okay. Oh, hey, quick announcement, by the way, because I don't think we've mentioned this on the show yet. I mentioned it in the newsletter. Somebody set up a Slack channel. If people know what Slack is, it's often used in inner office situations, but it's kind of like a social media thing. It's kind of like a messaging community, and we now have an outgrowth of the Stens Facebook page over on Slack, and maybe there's about 200 of us over there talking about TBTL topics, and there's various kind of – it's almost like it's a melding of old school and new school, so it's almost like there's various chat rooms. There's one dedicated just to pod pets where you can post your photos of your pets. There's one dedicated to hot dogs. I seem to be the only one posting in there. There are there's one dedicated to music, people swapping songs. So if you are not on Facebook or want to enhance your interaction with other tens and myself, check us out on Slack. The way you would get into the group, by the way, is go to our Twitter handle at TBTL, and you'll see the latest tweet is a link that you click, and you can join the Slack community.
I might sign up for that because it's of fun. Being so detached from the Facebook verse now, and because I like to do that thing for the TBTL-thon week where I put up little photos from jogs with the listeners. Maybe the Slack channel could be where I do.
There's an eagle soaring channel in the Slack page. People are doing that. They're kind of continuing, like, hey, look, this is they're posting photos of their runs or whatever. Like, nice. It's really cool. I like it. And again, it's a little old school, a little new school. It's mostly kind of like conversation based, a little less. Maybe a little fewer bells and whistles, and there's a little bit of a learning curve. This was set up a couple of years ago, and I remember being like, I don't know if I want to learn how to do Slack, and it kind of fell to the wayside. And then recently I just realized, like, I permanently deleted my Facebook page. I'm just like, by the way, I guess I'm still 15 days away from them actually deleting it. Like you mentioned the other day, I keep thinking about it, since we're going political this show anyway, it's easier to get an AK-47 than unsubscribe or delete your Facebook account these days, but
yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, maybe you said AR-15, but anyway, I just really did miss interacting with people. I sort of have felt like, since I am no longer part of the Stens page, I feel like we're doing the show a little bit more in a vacuum. And I think maybe at first I was like, maybe that would be good for me. Maybe I was like taking too much negative feedback to heart and all the throw your phone bullshit that was kind of all over the Facebook page, not to put too fine a point on it. And I was like, I just don't need that in my life. And so it felt good for a while. But now doing the show, and I love you, Luke, but you and I just talking to each other and not having quite as much like kind of input and just plain old interaction with the tens has just sort of felt vacuumy to me. So I've been having a blast, if anybody else wants to join us over there.
Are you the administrator of the Slack page?
I am one of them, which I didn't ask for that crown.
Like,
but
invite, could you? You didn't choose the Slack life. The Slack life chose you.
What is your nickname? Not Voldemort, but Lindemort.
Famdemort?
Oh, Famdemort, please, if it be your will, take this crown from my head.
Yeah.
What did you...
Yeah, hey, whoever... Can somebody who's an admin on that... I'd like to be on Slack. I know so little about it that I assumed it was... I assumed it cost money and it was like your Fortune 500 company you worked for would like pay money to have a Slack account that everyone could talk on. But of course it's free because of course they make their money on, you know... however they make their money. But
it's partially
free. We can have a Slack page.
There's like a limit of the number of messages. You can get like 10,000 messages and then you have to start paying, or you can't see the archived ones after that.
Then you have to delete all of them and not reply to them. That's kind of how I intend to handle that issue.
But for now, at least, it's free. And yeah, by the way, I am an idiot, though. I sent out what I thought were the right links in the newsletter last week when I was announcing this thing, but they were the wrong links. So if you're having trouble getting in, there's a specific invite link on our Twitter at TBTL. But anyway, all of that is to say, cool. The first message that I have here is actually from Famdemort, from that... Slack page. Yesterday, you pointed out, I was talking about Luther Burbank, potentially your great uncle, who I guess kind of discovered or created the Luther Burbank potato that we were talking about. But I kept calling him Luther. And you're like, why are you saying Luther? It's Luther. And you're absolutely right. And I didn't notice I was doing that. And then I said something even stupider, which I said, I guess there are no words where that TH sound makes a hard th sound as opposed to a th sound in the middle of a word. Because you said you have booths, I guess. That's a hard TH, but that's at the end of the word. That is a hard TH. That's at the beginning of the word. But I said, maybe there are no words where it's a hard TH in the middle. I'm wrong. Father, mother, bother, brother, lather, leather, weather, tether, feather, heather, heathen, brethren, pathogen. That's not right. Anyway.
No, it's nobody ever says, nobody is ever happy to see the word pathogen.
Nobody is ever happy to see that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Also,
I just signed up for Slack, by the way.
Okay.
Under the username Luther.
Okay, good.
If anybody sees Loother on there, it's just old LB.
Right. Okay.
Hanging out in Slack.
You did it via the link, so it worked.
On the TBTL Twitter page worked great.
All right, good. That is good to know. Everybody be like Luther. By the way, as Cheryl points out also in that conversation, that I think the word for that, what I'm calling a hard TH sound, might be called an interdental fricative. I was looking that up earlier during the show, but I couldn't talk and read at the same time.
I'm not going to pay Orlando prices for a dental dam.
Is that from Kimmy Schmidt? Or no, that's is that from
one
the
of
good
place? Tina Fey. Oh. That's what Tina Fey says. As her, like, Marcia Clark-esque attorney persona to her partner slash legal partner. That's a classic example of, like, those two are making, like, 1,000 jokes a minute to each other, and, like, most of them don't work. But then she just says something casual, like, I'm not gonna pay Orlando prices for a female dental dam.
That could also I could see that living in the good place as well, that joke.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I have two great emails here regarding me getting angry. And I'm saying probably misguidedly angry at these hoodlums who were throwing snowballs very hard at passing cars yesterday. Were you about to break in and were you going to mention the story that's in the Seattle Times?
I wasn't, because I didn't want you to feel like I was trying to subtly, like, shame you or tie you in with that woman who behaved inappropriately, because I don't think that's fair.
A lot of people have sent us this story because I was talking about this yesterday, and there was some woman who I was trying to read the story and watch the video while Genevieve was watching TV, so I didn't capture the whole thing.
But weird.
Some people were throwing snowballs. One of them hit her car, maybe intentionally, and then she went off, right? She was drunk driving and kind of tried to plow into him.
This is the part that's strange. Yeah, so she's driving her Jeep. There was a snowball fight, which doesn't seem like it was directed at cars specifically, but a snowball hit her Jeep. Either somebody lobbed it at her or she just got caught in the crossfire. She then looped her car around and tried to drive into the snowball fighters. God. Luckily, she didn't get anywhere close to them. Then she got out of her car as the Seattle PI, I think, mentioned. She was not dressed for the weather. And she was like, it's all inside my car. She was mad about, like, the snow getting inside her car. She tried to fight some people. Police were called. She was arrested for DUI. Here's the weird part. She was not drunk on alcohol. She was high on marijuana.
Oh, really?
I'm going to just buy into a stereotype here as a person who's not super versed in marijuana culture. I would have expected her to be much more chill about this.
Yeah. Hey, lady, try another strain. There's one out there for you, but you're not using it.
Right.
Well, I got two emails
Auntie
here.
Auntie Anne's Rage Kush is not your friend.
Rage Kush. Joe in Harrisburg, PA says, when I was a teenager, a friend and I were hiding and throwing snowballs at passing cars. Someone saw us and did call the police. Since this was the 70s, the responding officer just gave us a stern talking to, whereas today I'm sure we would have been labeled as terrorists. BT Dub, today I would be angry if I was driving somewhere and my car got hit. Any unexpected noise can be jarring when you're driving. And then I got this one from Marissa.
I like the idea that the local police showed up. What was that listener's name who threw the
Joe
threw the snowballs?
Joe in Pennsylvania.
I like the idea that the cop showed up. This was in the 1970s or 80s, and like gave them a stern talking to, and then took away their slingshots.
Yeah, right.
I've been making a lot of Norman Rockwell references of late. Just feels like, yeah, there's also a Dennis the Menace component. I feel like Norman Rockwell paintings fall into one of three categories. One is like old World War, I guess they might have been World War One veterans, like veterans saluting a flag, little boys who did something bad but feel bad about it, crying with a slingshot in their back pocket,
right,
and matronly types doing something involving a pie.
Is there a third type of a bashful boy with his hands behind his back, maybe holding a flower, trying to talk to a girl?
Exactly. Little boys, if they're not holding a slingshot behind their back, they're holding a single daisy behind
right.
their back.
Right, exactly.
And they have a very weak chin.
I want to stay on this topic of snowballs because I got this one from Marissa in where? Cleveland. By the way, do we know if our Valentine's Day show aired or is airing in Cleveland? They've been pretty good about
airing. Even
in
Cleveland, they love the way we swing. I don't know. Good question.
Because I'm wondering.
Can you send me the link, by the way, on Slack? Actually, not on Slack. Will you send me the link to where all the Love Is on the Air assets are? Because I want to blast a few more radio stations with the info.
Yeah, I'll figure that out after the show. Anyway, so Marissa's in Cleveland. She says, by the way, I've only half read this, so I'm assuming it's interesting. It seems interesting at first glance. Andrew, I'm 100% on your side. I told you it's interesting at first glance.
Gotcha.
In the outrage over snowball pranks on strangers. So here we go. Last winter, I was waiting at the stop sign to leave the parking lot of the high school at which I was teaching as a group of middle schoolers was crossing. I had the warm feeling of hope for the future watching them play as they walked. Hooray for the youths. Oh, no. This is going to turn. I can feel it. When it was my turn to go, I pulled forward and wham! Freaked out at the loud thump of a snowball on my back window. Little assholes! I slammed on my brakes in the middle of the intersection, turned to follow them, and yelled through my window at the friends on behalf of the whimsical vandal that hightailed it out of there. Okay, so she's saying the person who actually threw it hightailed it out of there, and she yelled at the people who were left behind. What I wish I had done was quickly park the car, gotten out, and calmly told the kid or his friends, A, he's an idiot, because, hey, I would still have been mad, and B, inconsiderate actions towards strangers account for far too much of the badness in this world. If you want to have fun with your friends, make sure it's something that has an effing positive impact on the world. So anyway, she goes on from there. Not sure if that's an example of aggression coming from outrage, not fear, unless maybe that's a fear of the state of humanity. Because you were saying that most outrage is born out of fear.
I still think it was elevated by coming out of fear, and I would say, not having been in the car, that moment of like a loud noise that you're not expecting, I think that sends a really strong fear response through us. And some people respond in an extreme way to like a surprising noise. I'm not saying that the listener's response was extreme. Marissa, you said in the Cleve.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there, but I'm saying I bet you anything, Marissa, that initial shock of that sound that came out of nowhere and scared you just released a bunch of chemicals into your body. And then which is not to say that if your being mad was not appropriate, but I still think that fear or a scary moment heightened things potentially. I just think maybe this is the takeaway. Everybody have all the snowball fights they want with people who know they're in the snowball fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? That seems to just be the – because snowball fights are, you know, it's off of a Currier and Ives cookie tin. It's a beautiful thing between consenting parties. the issue becomes when you bring someone into the snowball fight who did not ask to be in the snowball fight. And I will also say that it has to do with the construction of the snowball.
Yes.
I'm going to gender this real hard. Boys have a tendency, I know, because I was a boy and now I'm a man. There's like a weird impulse to want to pack the world's most devastating snowball. You sit there just packing it and packing it and packing it and packing it until eventually it is now just ice, which is, let's be honest, basically a rock.
A weapon.
And that's not cool. That's very different than like a hastily tapped together snowball that starts to disintegrate even in midair that you're throwing at someone who knows they're in a snowball fight.
Right. Yep. By the way, the only thing that I wanted to say was I like that the two snowball-related stories came from Pennsylvania and Ohio. I mean, that's very appropriate. They know from snowball fights.
I always forget. I forget that Ohio borders Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of Ohio as, you know, I mean, would you say Ohio is considered the Midwest?
It's funny. I consider Ohio to be the Midwest. I feel like we have Midwest values, but man, you look at the map and it doesn't really seem
it's
like the
way
Midwest.
Over there. It's western PA. And I mean that whole like the Ohio Valley and like, you know, the western part of Pennsylvania, and I guess that would be the eastern part of Ohio, or is it the southern part? I don't know what parts of those states line up, but that feels very east to me, very Appalachian in a way.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, again, like I think of Ohio as like I say I'm from the Midwest, and I don't know exactly where you draw those lines, and I'm sure it's been the subject of many a debate. But I'm trying to think because it's also weird. No,
I'm trying to look this up, and I asked the internet to tell me about the Ohio Pennsylvania Borfer.
You know, I'm kicking you out of the Slack group. I'm not putting up with language like that.
I put this on Twitter and then I took it down because I was like, I don't know if I need this to be the like, I don't know if I need this to just be in the permanent record, although it's cached somewhere. But I was for some reason became interested in the Guadalcanal conflict the other day, and I was typing it in, but I typed it in as Guadalanal.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost the C somehow. And I was very proud of the internet because that's not a thing. It just was all Guadalcanal.
Oh, good. Nobody had made that joke. Maybe they were all just like, we can do better. Maybe they had already listened to the conversation we just had.
I mean, I can't believe that those words could be typed into the internet accidentally and you wouldn't just get a variety of things that you might not have. Then I think it was listener Wendy said, well, that's because you didn't click on – like I didn't override the search function. Like it figured out I meant Guadalcanal. It went and looked for that. I guess I could have told it, no, I meant Guadalanal. And I could have been like – I could have forced it, and then that would have maybe brought up its whole own situation, which it didn't. I don't know. I just feel like every once in a while the internet actually surprises me with its whatever.
So Guadalanal is the name of the show?
I was going to go Pennsylvania Borfer. No. Let's see. Is that it for the emails?
Now
I'm obsessed with trying to figure out. I'm just looking at the Pennsylvania Ohio border.
Mm-hmm. So that would be what? That would be the eastern border of Ohio meets the western border of Pennsylvania, right?
Cleveland is east of Detroit. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's. I think we have to officially declare Ohio to be part of the. Like,
well,
it's not
the
on the
East
eastern
Coast.
Seaboard.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
What would you call West Virginia, though? What would you call West Virginia?
I don't talk about West Virginia. No, I'm just kidding. Did you see, by the way,
with
all the news coming out of Virginia last week, The Onion did one of their Just a Headlines things, and it just said something like, West Virginia feeling pretty smug right about now. yeah, no, that, like,
I'm looking at this
West
map,
Virginia, Andrew. I think of it as Appalachia. But I guess that wouldn't apply to the whole state, so I don't know.
I mean, the Midwest is – like, honestly, Iowa is fibbing if they think they're in the Midwest. The Midwest has to start with Nebraska.
Well,
really, like I'm looking at North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma. That feels like the middle of the state. If you're bisecting these United States and you draw a line right down the middle, that is so much more the middle. Certainly more than Ohio, and I would argue even more than Iowa and Minnesota. which would be classically thought of as the Midwest. I mean, obviously, someone's going to email me and say, well, Midwest was probably came up with – they probably came up with that at a time when the West was different.
Exactly.
Like everybody was clustered along the East, and so that was considered the middle – to, you know, the middle point before you got to the West.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, times change, you guys. Stop using hurtful language like Ohio is in the Midwest.
Yeah. I mean, you can say it, but just be prepared for people to react. What also confuses things to me, and now I'm trying to do this on the fly. Wow, this show is unraveling. But I like the
unraveling.
Book – The Great Damn. Gatsby a lot, but I still think that parts of it are over my head. And, you know, the big part of the theme of the – one of the big themes, I should say, of The Great Gatsby is this kind of idea of the East versus the West, or more specifically the Midwest, because the main character, Nick Carraway, is from the Midwest, and he's dealing with kind of the culture of the East. Yet what they define as the Midwest in that book, I remember it blowing my mind back when I read it for the first time. I'm trying to do a
New Jersey.
Yeah, right. Just over the bridge. So anyway, I can't figure out where Nick Carraway was originally from, but he's technically from the Midwest in the book, and I remember thinking, like, that ain't the Midwest. So good story.
Well,
to me.
We'll slot that in on Friday too. We'll have an update on where Nick Carraway is from.
Make you sure think to I'm tune being in, sarcastic. Everybody.
Okay. That's going to do it. You floated a couple of ideas for show titles.
I really only had the one, the Blursday Clause, which it's not even Blursday. It's Wednesday, so I'm not feeling super bullish on that.
Things.
Yeah.
Anything about pants?
Anything about pants? What were
pants on the sound?
Pants on the sound?
Looking like a fool? I don't know. Pants on the ground was a thing.
Yeah.
I remember Pants on the Ground.
I almost played that before when you were I was
It's from my
you.
Large collection of pants-related audio content.
I know. Do you have it there?
That I'd love to share with you.
I think I have it.
1, 2, 3.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, with the gold in your mouth, hat turned sideways, pan hit the ground, call yourself a cool cat, looking like a fool, walking downtown with your pants on the ground.
Now we have to also go into the Jimmy Fallon, Neil Young song, Pants on the Ground, which I have
Ladies
to give,
and gentlemen,
give this guy credit.
Neil Young.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Looking like a fool.
It's so good that it makes me want to listen to Neil Young.
I know. Say what you want about the hair tussle
and
Jimmy Fallon's, you know, I don't know, kind of apolitical nature. But, man, that's friggin' solid. You're right, though. I'm going to put on, you know.
Harvest. Put on Harvest
like
on your drive down.
I like Harvest Moon. I'm a kind of I wanted to say like some old school Neil Young song that makes me more cool. But I got into Neil Young's scene at about Harvest Moon o'clock.
But can I offer you a recommendation? Go back and listen to Harvest, which is an album that he had back in the what?
So era. Harvest Moon is sort of a reference to that. Maybe
I never really knew. I didn't listen to Harvest Moon. I know that came out. Didn't that come out kind of when we were in high school? Because I remember hearing about Harvest Moon. Harvest came out in 1972. It's got Needle and the Damage Done. Okay. It's just so good. What was I going? Oh, I know what I was going to do here. If you don't mind, I know we got to wrap up, but can we just do my pants drops?
Yeah.
Easy with words, Walsh. Words have meanings.
Get at it. Get at me on Slack, Vandemort. Andrew, can we do my pants drops?
Let me just see what we got here. Tobias?
Let me take off my assistant skirt and put on my Barbra Streisand in the Prince of Tides ass-masking therapist pantsuit.
This one is called No Pants Bean, which means Bean Baxter sent it to me.
Why is this man wearing no pants? The answer will surprise you.
That's pretty good. This one's probably the same. Pants on the Ground, I got that one. This one is just called Pants.Wave.
First of all, you must wear pants for this.
That's yours. Oh, this
Girls
one.
Girls don't even wear their pants that tight. I bet your sister can't even fit them pants.
I know your nuts hurt.
I got Talladega Nights, Peeing Your Pants goes on for 20 seconds, and it's probably not that good. Must wear pants. Oh, and then...
Wouldn't that be the course of action taken by an overtly sexual man?
A man who owns a pair of Matador pants?
Okay, that's it. I'm out.
Cool. What if we go out with Charlemagne and sweatpants by the Hold Steady?
Okay, I don't know it, but I'll bet you I know
it's
what it sounds like.
It's off of Separation Sunday.
Okay.
You probably do. When I was drive, I don't know if it's the weirdest thing, but a thing happened to me when I was driving on Friday. I was driving home. I think it was Friday. Everything's blurring together. But the snow was, again, there wasn't a ton of snow falling everywhere, but there was snow on the sides of the road. And for some reason in my mind, I felt like this is probably what it's like to drive in snowy conditions in the Midwest, and it got me thinking about the Hold Steady. And I had a strong urge to want to listen to the Hold Steady while driving behind a semi truck in snowy weather. So I did. And this song, Charlemagne in Sweatpants, I've referenced this song on the show pretty often because there's a couple lines in it that I really like. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. Love will be on the air. So tune in for that. Until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of TBTL. Please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
When it's hot under the street lamps, they seem an awful lot like spotlights. Yeah, sometimes Charlemagne gets uptight, running numbers between bars, running girls between the cars. And sometimes Charlemagne feels alright. 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 Charlemagne and ice just like a lover. Oh, last winter there was weather, and his eyes, the ice right over. Hey, Casanova's in the corner, and he's asking for a dance. These shooters driving around and coming down, and trying to hook up with an entrance ramp. And tramps like us, and we like tramps. Yeah, Charlemagne's got something in his sweatpants.
Power out.